Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and you are listening to the webcast version of STEM Spots. With me in the studio today is Dr. Bob Bradley. He's a professor emeritus of theater from Missouri State University and a resident director at Springfield Contemporary Theater. He is also the director of a play being put on by SCT called Oppenheimer. Thanks for stopping by, Bob.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Now, this play, we talked about Oppenheimer last week, or at least I did. I did a monologue on just sort of some general ideas about it. And then I asked you to come by because I want to know more about the play. So first, lead us through sort of your own interests in it from an embryonic stage all the way through to where you found the play.
My interest and my idea for it certainly came as I realized, especially in the last few years, that we have world leaders who seem to be rather cavalier in their attitude toward the use of weapons of mass destruction. And as we have those world leaders who are sitting there and threatening each other with these weapons of mass destruction, it reminded me very much then of the ideas of J. Robert Oppenheimer that he began expressing in the late 1940s after he had developed the bomb, the atomic bomb that was used at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And then the fear of what he had unleashed on the world. And I was thinking in terms then of this fear that he had of what he had developed. And it made me then begin. I knew of two plays about Oppenheimer, one which had been written in the late 1950s by Kephart called The Trials of J. Robert Oppenheimer. And that particular play deals with, as it says, in fact, it is taken from the actual transcripts of the trial that Oppenheimer went through during the McCarthy era, which ended up with his being stripped of his security clearance at that point.
Not a criminal trial, but a trial to judge his security risk.
Right, his security, yes, his security risk. And so I was thinking about that play. There's another fairly new play coming about 2000, I think it's eight or so, called The Love Song of J. Robert Oppenheimer. And that particular play is very much concerned more perhaps not only with his ideas, but also with his rather unusual relationships with a number of different women. And so then it was that Rick Dines, who is the artistic director at Springfield Contemporary Theater, says, "I have a new play that I want you to read." And he handed me the script called Oppenheimer by Tom Morton Smith. This was a play that in 2015 was developed for the Royal Shakespeare Company in England, and was a play to be presented at its black box theater called The Black Swan at Stratford-on-Avon, which is where the Royal Shakespeare Company lives. And it was a play about then, as it obviously is, about Oppenheimer. And it follows Oppenheimer then from the 1930s and his associates with his brother, actually, his younger brother, Frank, actually was a member of the Communist Party. Oppenheimer's associations with various other people who at least had communist leanings. And while he himself was never a member of the party, he certainly was suspect by a number of people in Washington.
And let me ask you this. Did you actually see a staged production before you decided to actually have SCT put it on?
No, in this particular case. In fact, so far, we are the third production ever of this particular play. As I said, it was developed by the Royal Shakespeare Theater in Stratford-on-Avon. It ran there from in January 2015 until April, and at which point it closed in Stratford. It then moved to London for a limited 8-week run, and that was the first production ever. There was then, in the fall of 2018, a production in the Los Angeles area of this particular play, and we are the third company ever to present this particular play, and it's something that we're very proud of. We had to work through the English agent who has the rights to the play, and we also are very much aware that the playwright Tom Morton Smith knows about this production. The Rick Dines, the artistic director, has had a number of notes from Morton Smith about this play and various ways in which the play, in fact, might be trimmed or how it might be cast. And so we are very happy. And as I said, happy.
That is very exciting.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. So you're of an age, I'm almost of an age, where some of these things were right in the middle of what you actually saw yourself. And so I imagine, I know for myself, being a physicist, having read extensively on this, and also really being raised in the 60s, there's a resonance with me. But when you're thinking about the audience to whom, you know, you're speaking and that you want to reach, did you gauge, did you do any work to try to gauge how this will resonate with people today, the ideas behind the story?
Well, what we try to do, of course, is that anytime we choose a play, we choose a play in which we hope that it will engage the audience. Now, very specifically, this particular play is written in what is sometimes called Brechtian style of theater. And these are the ideas that were developed by a German playwright in the first half of the 20th century, and the idea that theater was to be something, yes, always something you could enjoy, always something that would be give you pleasure, something that could be fun. He never, Brecht never shied away from the idea that theater should be fun. But most of all for Brecht, the idea was theater is a place of issues. Theater is a place where you can bring ideas for people to consider. What are these issues? Brecht doesn't try to give you answers. What Brecht always wanted to do was to make you, as you leave the theater, to think about what you had seen and the issues that had been presented. So the playwright Tom Morton Smith follows and uses those ideas of Brechtian theater in the development of this particular play.
Very good. We'll talk more about this in a little bit. Let's sketch out the story. You mentioned a little bit of it, sort of the early associations of Oppenheimer, but just sort of drag us through the acts of the play very briefly.
The play is in two acts. Essentially, the first act sets up Oppenheimer and his associations. The people at Berkeley. It also sets up the associations with two major women, and that is the woman that Oppenheimer, Jean Tatlock, had known for quite some time. In fact, he even had asked her to marry him, and she had turned him down. And then he meets a woman by the name of Kitty Harrison, and Kitty Harrison is at that point married to an MD, a doctor, and Oppenheimer and Harrison start an affair and lead to Kitty becoming pregnant and then divorced by her husband, and she becomes Oppenheimer's wife. But at the same time, Oppenheimer does not abandon Jean Tatlock. She continues then as a force and a mistress of his. So essentially that and then the fact is Act One, and then the meeting of General Leslie Groves, who is the military person who is in charge of the development of this special secret weapon. And by the end of Act One, then General Groves and Oppenheimer have come together. Oppenheimer has been appointed the director of the laboratory which will develop these secret weapons. Act Two then takes place basically at Los Alamos, New Mexico, and at Trinity, which is 250 miles south of Los Alamos, which is where the first bomb was exploded. And the play concludes then with Oppenheimer's realization of, or his fear of, what have I unleashed on the world, and what is it that I have now done in creating this bomb, this atomic bomb of mass destruction, and that's where the play ends.
So let's talk a little bit about how you capture all these various bits. Because first of all, there's a bunch of physics in here, and I'm imagining you go physics light on that. And then there's also this interplay, and it's between all these characters. And anybody who's read much about this knows that Oppenheimer, an otherworldly theoretical physicist, becomes an exceedingly adept manager of people at Los Alamos, and yet was an extremely complicated person. So is there much delving into the sort of strange personality he was known to possess, or how's that sort of encapsulated in his interactions with other people?
His relationships with his students, his relationship with Edward Teller. Teller comes in and out of the play, and it's not a very flattering portrait of Edward Teller, but they were quite strained relationships between the two. But Oppenheimer very much reminds Edward Teller that I am the head of this project, and you will do what I want you to do, or you may leave. And so Teller realizes there are great resources available here, and so he stays. And of course, after this play is over, Teller and Oppenheimer then had quite strained relationships as Teller went on to develop what became known as the hydrogen bomb.
Right.
And this was the bomb that Oppenheimer never wanted developed.
Right. Right. That, of course, would play right into you doing back-to-back the trials of J. Robert Oppenheimer.
Yes.
That would be a double billing.
Yes.
Let's talk about the way the staging has been done. How are you handling it? How many actors? Do you have multiple roles? I've heard there might even be songs in this. So let's talk a little bit about the staging.
Well, as I said, Tom Morton Smith, the playwright, utilizes what usually is referred to as Brechtian techniques. I won't try to go into a long explanation other than to say that actually, Brecht appropriated many of these ideas from a man by the name of Erwin Piscata, who had developed what was called epic theater. And Brecht just sort of took over wholesale the ideas and incorporated them into his own ideas about what theater should be. So epic theater is a theater which wants you to think. Epic theater is a theater which wants to be a theater of issue. Brecht thought that this realistic theater, which is the dominant theater of the 20th century, realistic playwriting, that it was too emotional, that it allowed you to sort of wallow in your emotions and feelings and didn't make you think. So Brecht's idea was, we want to make you, yes, you have emotions. Yes, we want you to be caught up in the story. We want you to be caught up in the characters. But at some point, Breck says, wait a minute, let's push you out of this. And so therefore, he uses a number of different techniques, as I said, that were developed in what is called epic theater.
Let me ask a question about that then real quickly. So what would he have thought of Tennessee Williams then? Too much emotion?
Probably.
Because there, there might be issues underlying it, but as you know, there's strong, strong emotional content
right.
that in the aftermath, when people think of, even if the movie version, what they think of A Streetcar Named Desire is, Stella! Right, that's what they
yes.
think, a bare emotion, if that makes sense. So you're saying pulled back a little bit to try to, how would you do that? How
well,
would you
what,
get that
as
disconnect?
I said, what Brecht did was he used a number of techniques of epic theater. One, every episode or every scene here has a title. And very specifically then, we flash the title of that particular scene up at its beginning. So immediately you have a title or a label applied to a particular scene. So that was one thing that Brecht did, and that was that because just the reading of the label becomes then an act of the brain. It immediately makes you use your thinking capacities here to read those words and then to apply those words to the scenes you're looking at. So his use of titles of some kind or the other, and in this particular case, the projection of them. He also incorporated the use of song and of music. And for much of Brecht, it was original music that he was using. But in the case of Tom Morton Smith, he uses songs of the period. And that is, just for one example, the character by the name of Bob Wilson, who had begun much to fear the weapon, a student of Oppenheimer's, but he had begun to fear, why are we developing this? We originally were developing this idea, this bomb, to use because the Germans were. The Germans have now surrendered. Why are we continuing to develop this? So at some point, Bob Wilson breaks into a song of the 1930s, by I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire. And, I mean, if anything, this should certainly jar the audience, for here is this character who is singing this song. Or we have the soldiers or the airmen who are getting ready to go bomb Nagasaki. And so they break into a song of the period called Goodbye, Mama, I'm Off to Yokohama.
Right.
And so there are these things which suddenly are there very specifically to jar the audience to say, back out of this. Not only do you use your emotions, use your brain.
Well, let's talk about that in the context of, I know you're actually having some after staging audience interaction. Talk about that.
What we do at Springfield Contemporary Theater is we always hold what is called a talk back. In this particular case, we have a talk back on a Sunday afternoon, and we ask anybody in the audience who wish, please remain. And then the director, the various people on the artistic team, the cast, We all come together there. We sit on stage. The audience is out there. And we now ask, what are your comments? What are your questions? What would you be interested in knowing about after having seen this particular play? We feel this is very much a part of theater, and that is to set up communication between what the theater is doing and what the audience is seeing, and now let's discuss it.
Good. Now, can you tell us when are the remaining productions? What dates will those be?
Okay, the remaining productions will be on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We close on Sunday with a Sunday matinee on Sunday, March 1. The Thursday, Friday, and Saturday performances are at 7:30. The Sunday performance starts at 2 o'clock.
Okay, great. And a take-home message. One of the things people say, oh, there's a play about Oppenheimer, and that's what they're going to think. It's about Oppenheimer. But it's not considered to be – it's not meant to be a biography. So synopsis, takeaway message of the play, so to speak.
Well, as I said, Oppenheimer himself developed great fears about what he had developed at Los Alamos. And in the years that followed, while he was much maligned by security personnel, Oppenheimer, of course, continued his academic career. He moved from Berkeley to Princeton, and he taught his last years at Princeton. But Oppenheimer greatly feared about this development of the weapon of mass destruction, and then especially, of course, what Edward Teller was going on to develop. So what we hope is the take-home message is, let's all think about what has been developed, what is possible in this world of the 21st century, and the fact that at any point in time, there are world leaders who could literally destroy the world as we know it.
Very good. Well, Bob, thank you so much for stopping by and talking about this. It sounds like an impressive production, and I hope people out there will go see it. Thanks.
Thank you.
And once again, this is Dave Cornelison for the web version of STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.